Who asked for the legislation for the highway program?
It's actually something I had heard about on the campaign trail early on. People asked that I put it on the radar after if I become elected, and I said I absolutely would. And after I became elected, we started researching the project. It was actually a land swap that we had to do between the FAA, and luckily I'm the vice chair with the FAA on transportation infrastructure, and also the agricultural department, because the section of land was going to be used for anything other than for the airport, it would revert back to the Department of Agriculture and obviously couldn't be used. We had to jump through the hurdles to get that passed, and we were able to do a land swap, and then, of course, we had to get it through the House and then over to the Senate, get it passed through the Senate, and then eventually signed by the president.
So it sounds like the work could not have been done without this bill.
It couldn't have, actually. And it was a bill that had been, well, it was an idea that had been languishing for quite a number of years. And we were able, luckily, I have a fantastic staff in Washington. A lot of them are Minnesotans, actually, that were able to, what we call build bridges, to ensure that we had support on both sides of the aisle, and make it a streamlining bill to get it done as quickly as possible, and we were able to do that.
So it sounds like you had the bipartisan support you needed to get it done.
We did. We did. And that in itself is quite remarkable. But it was considered a red line bill, which means that it was a bill that we initiated, passed through the Senate, and then signed by the president. So we're very pleased and working with Cook County that gave us the information that we needed. And then we took it from there and were able to, on the federal side, get all the I's dotted and T's crossed to make it actually occur.
And I believe you even brought a copy of the bill for the County Highway Department, correct?
We did. We did. We worked very, like I said, we worked very closely with them. And I had the bill framed and signed. It's one of the copies signed by the president, and brought it. I'm sure it's there right at the Cook County office buildings there.
Is there any other legislation coming up in the weeks before the election that has a specific effect on the Arrowhead region of Minnesota?
There's two major bills that we're still working on. One is the Mille Lacs Lake bill. Obviously, it doesn't have particular, unless you've got a lot of people like to go fishing down that way, where the Coast Guard has nationalized Mille Lacs Lake, taking a landlocked lake in the middle of Minnesota and nationalizing it, meaning that the federal government is now in charge of that lake versus the state. That's really interfering with a lot of resort owners around the area. Fishing guides, for example, now have to get what's called a six-pack license, which is expensive, and it's just cumbersome to get to be able to be a fishing guide on a landlocked lake in Minnesota. That's one bill that we're trying to push through right now. The second bill is the school land trust bill. And this is significant not only for the Arrowhead, but it's significant for all of our schools in Minnesota. State lands that were landlocked within the federal boundary water canoe area, what we're doing is we want to take those state lands that are under state management, take them out of the boundary water canoe area, and swap them for federal lands that are outside the boundary water canoe area. This makes the boundary water canoe area whole under one forestry management, so it's very good in that aspect. Nothing changes for the boundary water canoe area. It's totally seamless. No land is being taken away. No environmental protections. But one of the things we did place in there is to ensure the hunting and fishing rights are retained within the boundary water canoe area. Those state lands that are taken outside now and can be now harvested for timber and mining, and the royalties go directly to our teachers in the classroom and our children in the classroom. This has been a 30-year problem for 86,000 acres, and these lands should have been generating revenue for our schools.
I'm going to shift a little bit on you now and talk a little bit about the campaign for your seat. It's now underway with the DFL voter selection of Rick Nolan as your opponent. What do you see as the biggest issues for the campaign as they affect northeastern Minnesota?
I was just I'm down here in Virginia right now, and I was just at the Minorca mine, went to the 5:15 shift change. I just came back in. I'm kind of drenched. it's kind of wet and rainy down here.
Bet.
One of the major differences that I see between Rick and myself is that Rick is a more government-centric guy. He believes the answers will come from the government. I think government is the problem in a lot of cases, and an impediment to what we can do at a state level. I'm very pro-mining. I've been pro-mining with Polymet and also taconite mining. I believe that they can coexist in an environmentally friendly, because we live here. This is our home. We want to take care of it, but we also need to harvest the resources that is God-given here right in the 8th District of Minnesota. We are sitting on one of the richest precious metal finds in the world here in the 8th District of Minnesota. These are materials that we have to have. They go in our cell phones. They go in our computers. They go in our weaponry. The copper that we'll be harvesting, for example, the windmills, these large windmills that we see going down 35, these windmills have 1,500 pounds of copper in them. These are into palladium, which actually goes into our catalytic converters. So these are materials that we have to have. And instead, you know, we're employing foreigners in foreign countries to harvest these materials when we could be employing Americans and also creating a less of a dependency on foreign nations for these precious metals coming into the United States. So I've been very pro-mining and Polymet. And, of course, Ely, the Twin Metals Project, we're talking up to 2,000 jobs, direct mining jobs that can be associated up in the Ely area, which would be a great boon to the industry. And UMD did a study relatively recently that said for every one mining job that is created in the 8th District of Minnesota, there are 2.6 ancillary jobs associated with it as well. Not to mention that a lot more people are going to have money in their pockets. They're going to be able to buy cars, go out to dinner and eat, you know, having a lot more discretionary income that they can use just in the local area.
Before we wrap up, Congressman, just have one more question for you. The Duluth News Tribune is calling for you and Rick Nolan to lead other candidates in a campaign that sets a civil and positive tone. Have you and your opponent discussed this yet?
We have. As soon as the AP called it, I called Rick right away. And I congratulated him on his campaign, and that's one of the things that we did discuss, that we maintain an issue-based campaign. I plan on running a very similar campaign that we ran against Congressman Obastar, where we stuck to the issues, we were respectful, and we were civil. I think our constituents deserve that we should have an open, honest debate about the issues. Now, we're very different. I am very pro-gun. I am also a pro-life candidate. Rick has come out and said he believes that the assault ban should be reinstituted, and he is very positively pro-choice. So there is a very big distinction between us there. But again, this can be approached in a civil and respectful way.
Well, thank you, Congressman Chip Kravac, for your time. We hope to bring you to our listeners again soon.
I hope so as well. Thank you, Roger, and I hope you have a pleasant day.
Thank you.
All the best. Bye-bye now.
Bye.